Good morning. It's good to be able to stand before you this morning, having been out of town the past few weeks. It's good to be back with you and good to look out and see those who regularly worship here. We have those who are also visiting with us as well, and we're thankful for your presence. I want to thank those who spoke in my absence. My son-in-law, Caleb Chapman, and Luke Welty, I believe on the first Sunday, on the 8th, Brandon Vetter on the 15th, and then last Sunday, Phil and Carlin. I appreciate all of those men preaching the gospel, and I appreciate them engaged in that great work of preaching the Word of God and sharing that with others. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about the virtue of regularity. The virtue of regularity. In our scripture reading this morning, we looked at the New Testament church and how it begins. And I want you to notice in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the very first thing, what is the very first thing that is said about the New Testament church? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and the prayers. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about the virtue of regularity. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, I will be doing my trip report and trip review, so you can be looking forward to that. We will be doing that next Sunday morning, give some folks some time to get back into town, and I'll give a review of my time spent in the Philippines. I appreciate your support in that and prayers for that, and we accomplished a lot of good, and I look forward to telling you about that, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. This is our last Sunday of 2024. What a great year we've had. You look back over the year, and I appreciate Daniel's comments. We are so greatly blessed. Just think about some events over the past year that God has given you. Think about that and dwell on that and thank God for that. Just different kinds of things that came up in your life. And we live in a nation that is so blessed. And I think back over this past year. Lord willing, if God gives us a new year, let us give it back to Him in the best service that we can. And our lesson this morning hopefully will encourage us in our regular service to the Lord. Sherry and I were at Kroger yesterday. We had to go pick up a few items, and one item we needed was some butter. So I'm standing in front of the butter cabinet there in the frozen section or the refrigerated section. And we like that Land O'Lakes. So I'm standing in front of the Land O'Lakes, and there are four sizes in Land O'Lakes. Four sizes. That's just one brand. And then there's all kinds of brands to the left and to the right. When you go to other places, you don't even get four brands, let alone four sizes in one brand. You're just not going to get that. And so we live in a very blessed world, and we didn't choose into what people we were born or into what nation we were born. We didn't choose that. It was given to us. So let's make the best of the blessings that God gives us in return by giving Him our best service. Regularity. We are very familiar with this concept. And I want you to understand something this morning. Something that we may not realize, and that is that God has principles and laws that are put into place in His physical world, and it's the same laws and principles in His spiritual world. Sometimes we think that those two are distinct, and they're not. They're not separate. Whatever God has going on in the physical world, principles, laws, lessons, situations, the same is going on in the spiritual world. You plant a seed in the physical world and it grows up and it produces a plant and it bears fruit. It's the same thing. You've got to plant the seed of the Word of God and it grows in our life and it bears the fruit of the Spirit. There are things that are going on in the physical world that are exactly going on in the spiritual world. We're born. We're physically born. And we start growing. We have to be born again, John chapter 3, and we grow spiritually. There are things that God has in place in the physical world that are the exact same thing in the spiritual world. And the same goes on with regard to this matter of regularity. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 1, and you find in the matter of creation, there's a lot of regularity here in this chapter. I just want to focus on the matter of the sun and the moon and the stars and those kind of things in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. You'll notice two primary purposes here. First of all, to give light. And we have the sun, for example, to give us light. And we have the moon to reflect the light of the sun at night. But that's not the only purpose of these lights. In verse 14, for seasons, for days and years. And that demands that there be regularity. There has to be a regularity for that to happen. You can't have days and years and seasons and specific times. You cannot have chronological time frames unless there is a regulated system. And so our earth orbits the sun once every year, and it has done that from the beginning of time, and it will always be that way. It's regular in its orbit around the sun. And our earth revolves on its axis once every 24 hours. It's regular in doing that. It has done it from day one all the way up until today. There is regularity in the physical world of God. And he also wants that regularity in our spiritual life. So we're very familiar with that. I think all of us are familiar with this concept of regularity. You get up and you have a regular routine in the morning that you go through, and getting dressed and what you eat. A lot of times what you eat and when you eat it and what you like to eat is a regular thing. You typically eat about the same time every day, right? And your sleep patterns, unless you travel to the Philippines, your sleep patterns are regular, okay? Unless you go overseas, then it gets messed up. But you have a regular sleep pattern. You have a regular eating pattern. You have a regular work pattern. Typically, when people get up in the morning and go to work, you have a regular routine that you go through, right? And you pretty much stick with that every day. And by doing that, you accomplish a lot of good. So regularity, we understand that in our life. Do we understand that in our spiritual life? That's what I want us to consider this morning. I want to talk about the virtue of regularity in our spiritual life. And I think now's a good time, as we come to the close of this year, and Lord willing, as we begin a new year, I think now's a good time to talk about this. Because if we need to work on being more regular in our spiritual lives, then now would be a great time to do it. So this morning I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about how that in the New Testament church, Jesus wants regularity. He wants things to be done on a regular basis. And then number two, toward the end of the lesson, we're going to look at three benefits of being regular. There are important benefits that come to our life if we will be regular in our routine of serving the Lord. When you look at the New Testament church, as I've just said, you find that one of the first marks of the New Testament church was that it was to continue doing things on a daily and a weekly basis. You don't find in the New Testament church where somebody is doing something one time. You ever thought about that? Does Jesus want us to take the Lord's Supper just one time in life? Would that work? Just one time. Does Jesus want you to pray one time in your life? Does Jesus want you to open up your Bible one time in your life? Just open it up at some point in your life before you die. That would be fine. Is that what he wants? Is that what we read in the New Testament church, that they would do something once and that would be it? No, what we find is we find regularity, and there's a reason for it. Just like there's a reason for regularity in our universe and other physical things, there's a reason why there needs to be regularity in our service to God. There in Acts chapter 2, if you come on down just a few verses, in verse 46, day by day continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple. Why do that? Why not just be baptized, verse 38, and go home and never come back? Why not do that? Just be baptized and I got saved and I'm going to go home. Why did they stay there? And why does it say day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple? Why does it say that? Because there is a reason and a purpose for doing things on a regular basis. And if we find ourselves hit and miss, if we find ourselves where sometimes we do stuff and sometimes we don't do stuff, the encouragement this morning is to be more regular in our service to God. Let's look at a few examples. This certainly is not an exhaustive list, but let's look at a few examples of where God wants regularity in our lives. In Psalm 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man, and he is meditating on the law of God day and night. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Are we reading the Word of God daily? You don't find in Scripture where the Word of God is recommended like once in your life or once every few years or once a year. You don't find that. You find when someone is praised for the Word of God, it's because it's regular. Daily. Day and night, meditating on the Word of God. And the Bereans were noble in Acts 17:11 because they searched the Scriptures daily. Daily. Well, I open my Bible on Sunday. That's great. I open my Bible on Sunday morning when the sermon is going on, or Sunday night when the sermon is going on, or Wednesday night, but I really don't open it up any other time of the week. We need to be more regular than that. Regular Bible reading. Now's a good time to think about 2025. Some of you might want to do some sort of daily Bible reading plan. Now's a good time to be thinking about that. You can get those online for free. Just Google that if you need some help with that. I'd be glad to help you with that. But there's all kinds of daily Bible reading plans that you can start this coming Wednesday, January the 1st. Now's a good time to start. God wants us to be regular in our reading of the Word of God. And we're going to see later why. What's the benefit of that? The Lord's Supper. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. Why not just take the Lord's Supper one time? Why not be baptized into Christ and then on the next Sunday take the Lord's Supper and then don't ever take it again? Why not do that? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. As often as you eat this bread. As often. The implication is you're going to be doing it more than once. Why not just do it once? Well, there's a reason to do it more than once. Whosoever shall eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let each man prove himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He that eats and drinks judgment unto himself, if he discern not the body. For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. We're going to talk later about the benefits of being regular. Notice here in Corinth, some were spiritually weak and sickly. They were not partaking of the Lord's Supper in the right way. So, Paul writes earlier that when we take the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death till he come. So each first day of the week, we do that. As often as you eat. Well, how often, Paul? Upon the first day of the week. good works. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Why not just do good works once a year, maybe around Christmas time or Easter, or pick some, time of the year where you feel generous and you're going to go out and you're going to do some good works. Maybe once a year. Why continue and constantly be doing good works? In Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul writes, "Let our people learn to maintain good works." Maintain. That implies that something is going on a regular basis. That implies that when you maintain something, you keep it going. And so, let our people learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. You can come on down also to verse 14. Why do that on a regular basis? There's a reason why we need to be regular in our good works. Are we regularly doing good works toward others? We've got announcements every week, and announcements can give us some great ideas to do for that week. A phone call, a text, a card, a visit. Every week there's something that we can do toward those in or out of the church. Why do that on a regular basis? Why maintain good works? And Paul writes that our people need to learn. That's kind of an interesting statement. It's not something that everybody knows. It's not something that is automatic. Titus 3:8, "Those who have believed God may be careful to maintain good works. These are good and profitable unto men." And then verse 14, "Let our people also learn to maintain good works." Can we learn to maintain good works? Yes. It's something that we can learn to do if we're not currently doing that. And by the way, our young people learn to do that through parents. If young people are not seeing their parents do good works, they're likely not to be doing them themselves. As parents, we need to be busy setting the right example of good works toward others. And then our children grow up learning to do the same thing. Often our children do what we do or not do. We're a great example or not a good example on them, but maintaining good works, very important. Bob mentioned this in the class today with regard to Jesus going up into the mountain to pray. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Why not just pray once? Why not just, now and then, just maybe once a month offer up a prayer, or just every few months when you got a little extra time offer up a prayer? Why pray without ceasing? Why make that regular? Well, I pray for my food. That's good. 1 Timothy 4, about verse 5, the food is blessed and by our prayer. That's a good thing. But do we pray at any other time? Why pray without ceasing? There's a reason for that. There's a purpose for that. What you find in the New Testament, brethren, is regularity. You don't find one and done. Just do it once and then wait a while and do it again. You find it regular. You find the same thing with regard to assembling. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And later in verse 46, they were together in the temple. There's a reason to come together on a regular basis. And some in Hebrews chapter 10 had forsaken the assembly. We're not talking about illness or bad weather. We're talking about when we can be here and we choose not to be here, then something's going to happen to us when we're not regular. Let us consider one another to provoke or stir up unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling, plural. That implies that there's more than one assembly. Assembling. God wants more than one assembly. God wants more than one Bible reading, more than one Lord's Supper, more than one good work, more than one prayer. He wants regularity. And just like we have some physical routines. I would never break my eating routine or my sleep routine or my work routine. We need to have that attitude towards serving Christ. Sometimes with regard to serving Christ, it is, well, I'll do it when I feel like it. And if I don't quite feel like it, I don't guess I'll do it. Do we ever do that with a meal? We hardly ever skip a meal. I try not to skip a meal. I will never skip a meal. I will never skip my sleep. I will never skip work or whatever. But then we'll skip this or that with regard to our service to Christ. The Lord sees that. He sees that we're more regular with worldly things than we are with His things. He sees that. Let's be regular. And now's a good time to be thinking about this at the end of the year, and hopefully as we start a new year, to be as regular as we can in our service to Christ. When you look in the New Testament, here's just a few examples. It's not an exhaustive list, but you'll find some words that are associated with our Christianity. And these words mean to be doing it regularly. There's several times where we're told to continue in this or continue in that. Paul always uses the word always. It's amazing how many times Paul in his epistles talks about always doing this and always doing that. Sometimes Paul will talk about cease not or do something without ceasing. Daily is mentioned several times in the New Testament with regard to Christians. They daily did this and they daily did that. Acts 5, they were daily teaching in the temple. One example. Why? Because it's important. Often, the word often is used. Different places. The word walk is used in Paul's epistles. Walk implying something that you're doing every day. Daily habit, daily routine, daily living. Walk worthy of the gospel. Walk in the light. Walk in truth. John. Regular service. So, let's be reminded this morning that Jesus wants regularity. Not a one and done, not now and then, but a daily service to Him. Having established that point, let's look now at three benefits that you will get in your life and mine if we will have regularity in our life. The first one is more spiritual power and strength. Somebody says, well, I'm weak spiritually from time to time. I'm just not the Christian that I need to be. I don't have the power to overcome temptations like I wish I could. I don't have the power to withstand struggles in life, and I just seem to cave from time to time. Here's your problem. You're not regular. Because regularity will give you power. And a great illustration is an engine. When an engine is running regularly, it has power. When it's not running regularly, one of the cylinders is not firing, either due to the spark plug or the injector or the spark plug wire or something along those lines, your engine is not going to have the power that it needs to have. It's not running regularly. You have regularity, you have power. I had an old truck. I had it for a little while after we moved here to Clarksville. It was given to me by my brother-in-law. He had it for several years and he didn't want it anymore. It was a little Chevy S10. It had a very small engine, a 2.2 liter engine. It already had a small engine. But it had developed this situation where sometimes the spark plug would fire and sometimes it wouldn't. And I realized that that's what was going on and I changed it and everything was fine. But until I realized what was going on, there would be times when that cylinder wouldn't even fire. And I'm down to three cylinders. It was a little four-cylinder truck. And I'm now down to three cylinders. And there were a few times when I would go up Haymarket to go to our house and that thing would cut out. I could just barely get up the hill. I'm losing power because it's not running regularly. When we're regular, we have power. When we're not regular, we don't have spiritual power. And you show me a person who doesn't have spiritual power to handle temptations and problems in life, I'll show you someone probably that's not regular in their Bible reading, in their assembling, and in their prayer, and all these things. They're just not regular. They don't have power. So we've got to be regular so that we can have power. And all of us want that spiritual power, but we've got to have the regularity that brings that about. Regularity increases your spiritual power and your strength. The more regular I am, the more strong I am. The less regular I am, the less strong I am. We read Romans 1:16 a lot. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And we think sometimes maybe that that has to do with, you know, becoming a Christian, and it does. But Paul is writing to people who are already Christians. The gospel is God's power of salvation to people who are Christians, not just non-Christians. And Paul writes that we can have power that is given by the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Here's a great passage. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. Well, we know what that is. We know what it means to be happy. And peace in believing. We know what that is. That you may abound in hope. We know what that is. But then look at what he says. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that verse? Do you believe that verse and that part of that verse? We talk a lot about joy and peace and hope. But what about the power of the Holy Spirit? Now that's not some mystical, better felt than told inner warm feeling. It's the same as Romans 1:16. It's the power that comes through the gospel. It's the power that comes through the words of the Holy Spirit in the gospel. Do you believe that you can have power today? The words of the New Testament, believing them and hearing them and obeying them will give you power. Somebody says, well, I'm having a hard time dealing with this and with that. Yes, but you have the power to deal with that. The gospel, 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 1 Corinthians 1:24 is the power of God. And we can have power in us, but we have to have regularity. That's the payoff. Somebody says, well, I don't know if I want to be at services every week. I don't know if I want to read my Bible every day. Okay, you don't want power. But if you want power, it's going to come through regularity. It's like the engine firing on all four cylinders. Everything is firing right. That's when you get your maximum power. 2 Corinthians 13:4. He, Jesus, was crucified through weakness, talking about his humanity, yet he lives through the power of God, the resurrection. For we are also weak in him, but we shall live with him through the power of God toward you. Look at that phrase, the power of God to you. God wants to give you his power. Turn with me to Ephesians 1 and verse 19. He gives us that power through regularity. To know what the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. There is power directed to us. Look at Ephesians 3 and verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. How? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. To the end that you being rooted and grounded in love may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. underscore that. Because we have dealt with Pentecostals through the years and Charismatics through the years, we have to be careful that we don't run the other direction and don't talk about these kinds of things. We do have power. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in modern day miracles, not in modern day tongue speaking, not in some personal indwelling where the Holy Spirit is giving us something other than the Word of God, but power through His Spirit in the inward man, how? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's tied to the Word of God, faith in the Word of God. But this power, verse 20, works in us. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. Brethren, we want to be regular in all of these things because regularity brings power and strength. Colossians 1, 11, strengthened with all power, according to the might of His glory, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy. And if you back up to the verse right before it, or two verses before it, verse 10 and verse 9, knowledge is mentioned in verse 9 and in verse 10. And then he says, strengthened with all power. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. To the end that we also pray always for you. There's your always word. Paul always prayed. He was regular in prayer. To the end that we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. That is an amazing verse. God wants to fulfill every desire of goodness. Not every desire. A lot of people have desires that are bad desires. But Paul says God will fulfill every desire of goodness. When we get up each day and we desire good things for us and others, God will help us fulfill that. And then, every work of faith. I'm going to get up and I'm going to engage in a work of faith. Paul says it'll be with power. You can get a lot done. You can get a lot done with power. So that's why we're regular. That's why we're regular. And then one last passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We don't have a spirit of fear. We've been studying in the Gospels, in the life of Christ, where the apostles and others from time to time, they'll be fearful. Fearful of a storm, or fearful of this, or fearful of that. And Paul said, God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power. Do you believe that? Sometimes you'll hear Christians, well, you know, the devil made me do it, or I just had to cave in. I wasn't strong enough. Well, that may be true. It could be true. They weren't spiritually strong enough, but they could have been. We can be with regularity. Number two, when we're regular, we're going to be dependable. I remember growing up as a child singing in the songbook, Can He Depend on You? That's a great song. Can He depend on you? Can He depend on me this week? When you're regular, you're dependable. An employee that is showing up for work regularly is the employee that's dependable. And some of you probably work with some people from time to time that aren't dependable. They're not doing their job. You're always doing your job, but they're not doing their job. They're not dependable. They're not trustworthy. You can't count on them. Sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they show up on time, sometimes they show up late. Sometimes they do their job, sometimes they don't. You've experienced that, I'm sure. The reason we're regular in these things is we want to be dependable and trustworthy and accountable. The person who comes to services and then sometimes they don't, you can't count on them to serve. You can't put them on the men's duty roster because sometimes they're here and sometimes they're not. And you can't put them down to teach Bible class because sometimes they're here and sometimes they're not. And you can't count on them for this or for that because sometimes they're here and sometimes they're not. And when it comes time to do something and to step up and be a part, you can't depend on this person because they've not been reading their Bible regularly. I can't ask them to teach a Bible class. They don't really know their Bible. So, can't ask them to teach class. When it comes time, and the Hebrew writer says, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, how does that happen? Because we've been regularly reading our Bible and learning and studying it. And men for the duty roster, I'm here every time the doors are open. You can count on me. Put me down for something. And the ladies can be doing things in the church. But when we're regular, we're dependable. When we're not, we're not. Can he depend on you? It's a great song. Regularity increases your dependability. These passages on the PowerPoint are the places in the New Testament where faithful servant is used. Faithful servant. The word faithful here is used as an adjective. It describes a person. It's not the noun faith, and it's not the verb believe. It's the adjective faithful. It means trustworthy. It comes from the same family of words, but it's an adjective, and it means dependable, trustworthy. You can be counted. And the man, the five-talent man, was dependable. He's called a faithful and wise servant. And the two-talent man doubled his talent. He's the faithful and wise servant. The one-talent man, because of fear, went out and buried his talent. And he's the wicked and slothful servant. It's the same parable of the pounds in Luke chapter 19. Parable of the talents in Matthew. Parable of the pounds in Luke. Who is the faithful and wise servant? The one who's working, the one who's dependable, the one who's doing his job. But we've got to be regular. In the book of Colossians, Epaphras and Tychicus are described as faithful servants. Moses was a faithful servant in all of his house, Hebrews 3:5, it's a reference to Numbers 12, verse 7. One time, Moses didn't do what he was supposed to do. He struck the rock. Remember that? One time, Numbers 20. Out of a 40-year experience, Moses was faithful in all of his house. Brethren, we're regular in these things so that we can be dependable. And God can count on us. The elders can count on us. Our spouse, our family, others can count on us. Jesus can count on us. That's why we're regular. We're like clockwork in our spiritual service to Christ. And so, brother so-and-so, I can always count on him. Sister so-and-so, I can always count on him. But if that's not you, let's change that. Let's change that. And be that faithful and wise steward. The other one, the wicked and slothful servant, is what? Matthew 25, he's cast into outer darkness where there's the weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to be that person. And then last of all, regularity makes us useful. When something is regular, it's useful. When something's not regular, it's worthless. You think about in other countries, they use public transportation even a lot more than here. Here, everybody pretty much has their own car. In other countries, they rely upon public transportation. And here, in the urban areas like New York City and places like that, we have the subway system and so forth. We have the airlines. When those things are regular, they're useful. When they're irregular, you can't count on it. I took 4 domestic flights within the Philippines, and the preacher who booked those flights said, we've got two airlines here in the Philippines. One is dependable and one's not. One's on time and regular, the other one's not. I'm going to book you on the one that's on time and regular and dependable and useful. We need to be regular so that we can be useful to the Lord. A muscle that is being used regularly is useful. And a Christian who is regular in their service to the Lord and all of these things that we talked about earlier, they're useful. Otherwise, we're not. We're just taking up space. We don't just want to take up space in life. We want to be useful. If you post a flight and it's never on time, it's not useful. And a train and an Uber or whatever you use, it's just not useful if it's not regular. And we need to be useful. Regularity increases your usefulness. And the person who wants to use us is Jesus. Paul writes, if a man flee these things, and he's talking about things in a person's life that do not make him right. He'd been talking about in verse 19, unrighteousness. We got to get rid of things that should not be in our life if we will purge ourselves from these things. He, the Christian, shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, meet, M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T, M-E-E, the Old English word, useful. Useful for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. I'm prepared because I've been regular. I've been reading my Bible every day, and so I'm ready to go when it comes time to teach the Bible class or to talk with my neighbor. I've been praying all the time. I've been at every assembly, and I'm raising my children that way, and we are ready to go. I've been watching a lot of football lately. There's a lot of NFL playoff stuff going on, and there's a lot of college playoff stuff going on. A lot of football on TV. Who is the one typically out on the field? The useful one. The coach doesn't put the non-useful one out on the field. He puts the useful one out there. And who is the useful one? The one who's prepared. Well, who's the prepared one? The one who has regularly been doing what they need to be doing in practice. Meet, prepared, useful for the master. Is that you? Is that me? Each one of us has to be useful for the master. And the way we get that way is regularity. I like what Paul said, the compliment that he paid John Mark in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Back in Acts 13, John Mark had left Paul and Barnabas and he didn't go with them and finish that trip. We're not told why. Having made trips like that, I can tell you that there are times when it gets challenging and difficult. Maybe something came up that he didn't want to face. We're not told, but he left them back in Acts 13. It was so bad that Paul didn't want to take him again in Acts 15. But John Mark worked those things out in his life. And by the time Paul writes this at the end of his life, he writes in verse 11, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is useful to me for ministering. What a great compliment. He's useful to me. I would love that to be said of me. Would you like that to be said of you? I want this person. Bring him with you when he comes. Paul is back in a Roman prison in 2 Timothy. He's back in bonds. He's by himself. Many people have left him. He's asking for Timothy to come and bring, he's got Luke with him, verse 11. And it's always good to have a physician with you when you're old and in prison. It's good to have a physician with you. But come and bring Mark. He's useful. Mark had gotten regular, and he had gotten useful. Well, I appreciate your time this morning. It's a good time of the year to be thinking about our regularity. If in the past we've not been regular, and we can change that, let's do that, so that we can have the power. There's going to be times during the day and during the week where you're going to need that power. You're going to need it. And there's going to be times when you need to be dependable. And there's going to be times where you need to be useful. And because we love the Lord, and we have the ability to do these things on a regular basis, we're going to stand and we're going to say, I'm reading my Bible every day, and I'm here every time the doors are open, and I'm praying all the time, and I'm always taking the Lord's Supper, and I'm always giving. Every once in a while, you'll see a situation where brethren won't give. They won't give their contribution. In 2025, I'm going to give every Sunday. I'm not going to skip any Sundays. And in 2025, I'm going to be regular in all of these things and other things that I can think of so that I can serve the Lord to the best of my ability. If we can help you with that service this morning by coming and being baptized into Christ, let us help you to do that. If you need to come back to the Lord in some way, let us help you to do that. The gentle voice of Jesus is calling. Let's make the step to come to Him. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?